iLoveTheTruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A key Republican Senator, Susan Collins of Maine, now says Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the woman accusing him of sexual misconduct should both testify under oath before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Collins tweeted today that Christine Blasey Ford and Kavanaugh should both testify. The Maine Republican, a key swing vote on Kavanaugh's nomination. Kavanaugh has denied the allegations and says they're not true in any way, shape, or form. They stem from when he was a 17-year-old boy in high school, 36 years ago. Florence has taken a deceptive turn as the days drag on. The violent winds that rattled shingles off of houses and tore trees down have now subsided. The pounding rain has slowed a bit. That has lulled some into believing the dangers are past, but not true, say officials in North Carolina. That state's rivers are expected to crest at possibly record high levels today in the aftermath of the storm. On Wall Street right now, the Dow down 35 points. This is SRN News.
Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy Doug McCary. I didn't hear the weather coming in, but we can testify to the fact that it's about 100 degrees outside. It's clear, though.
It is clear. We did get a little rain out at the beach. I'm not sure.
Today?
Here. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, we got a pretty good little bit out there. Speaking of rain and just the weather, I was sharing with you before we went on air that I'm stunned that if you go to a couple of the news sites out there, this the deal going on in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and Florence,
you got to scroll down
you got to scroll down already, and they're still dealing with it. I mean, there's still danger up there of dams bursting. There's not dams bursting, but levees overflowing. There was one dam, the Headwaters Dam was in danger of being breached up there, and they're warning people to evacuate. The governor's still saying, hey, this is not over just because the storm moved through. They're still getting rain up there, even though the storm did turn north. They've rescued over 1,000 people from flooded homes who were trapped in floodwaters. And,
like 15 dead, I think.
Yeah, the New River, the Lumber River. They said that this is 70 miles away from the coast now. This is 70 miles inland.
Right.
But it's so flat, and there's so many little rivers. Beautiful part of they call it the Low Country up there. Beautiful part of, the state. But it's 70 miles away from the coast. These people are stepping right from their homes onto a floating boat, which is coming up to their door for them to get out. Sometimes their roofs, I guess. And these more than a 500,000 people are still without power up there. They're still, I mean, that's a lot of people. And that's customers. That's not necessarily people. That's just units.
Yeah.
You know, that they're accounting for. So there's still a lot going on, and I just want to, again, remind anybody listening today that we were there a year ago struggling with flooding here, struggling with your homes. Don't transition off this story as quick as the news cycle does. These people need our prayers. We need to be praying for them. We have a relationship with a church in New Bern, which was one of the hard hit areas because of the Neuse River, and we're actually going to try to either go up there. We're certainly going to try to get them some funding because they're going to need some help, and these funds go directly to them. We're not going to make a big, massive fundraising thing, but we're going to be, over the next week or so, we're going to be reminding you that you can go to SWATradio.com and you can give two Florence victims. It goes directly to them through this church and other churches that they have a relationship with, to go directly to people in that community that need it most.
So can if you're listening, you can go to SWATradio.com and give right there if you
want. There's three ways you can do it. You can send in a check, you can do it online there, and they've got all three of those ways outlined. But make sure you put Hurricane Florence or Florence victims in the comment section. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that we know that you want that to go to that. But so glad you're listening today, to us. And we do want to just remember these people up there in our prayers, and the leaders who, by the way, are doing a great job at helping. The Coast Guard's doing a phenomenal job up there, and a lot of people have stepped up. If you go to SWATradio.com, there's three ways to give. You can go online. You can just do it right there. You can text. They actually have a text number. Mm-hmm. You set it up through texting, or you can give by check, and it tells how to do that. The money goes through His Light International Ministries, which is the sponsor of SWAT Radio. I mean, I'm a part of His Light Ministries, and
but again, 100% of those funds will go
directly to the flood victims up in North Carolina, specifically mm-hmm. to New Bern, North Carolina, one of the hard hit areas. Wilmington was hit really hard, and they're still getting rain up there, and so just keep that in mind as you go through your day and through your week. You may see it go off of the news feed, but I really want to encourage you not to allow it to go off your heart feed. Okay,
amen. Keep
your heart feed praying for the people up there, and remembering them in your prayers. And even in the world, like there's people over in Hong Kong. I don't know if you heard about Typhoon Mangkhut. It's Mangkhut. They said it was the world's strongest storm this year. They call them typhoons over there instead of hurricanes. But it hit mainland China yesterday after just going through Hong Kong and killing a bunch of people. And says that more than 2.5 million people have evacuated southern China. And, we talked about Florence. And what's wild is when you think about all these things that we see in nature that we have no control over that affect us, we just have to be reminded that God's in control. He's the only one that is in control. And we have this facade a lot of times of being in control because of our technology. Think about this, Brad. Every minute on the internet, every minute, almost 3 million YouTube videos are downloaded. I mean, every minute.
Wow.
Almost 2.5 million Google searches are initiated.
Every minute.
Every minute. Over 500,000, over half a million photos are shared on Snapchat every minute. 150 million emails are sent every minute. And every minute, over 200 grand is spent on Amazon. Every minute. Think about that for a second. The iPhone we have mm-hmm. has, if you have an iPhone 10 right now, or an iPhone 8, or even probably an iPhone 7, it has more computing power than all of the NASA had when it put Neil Armstrong right. on the moon.
Isn't that amazing?
Think about that just for a second.
Yeah.
And yet, with all that, and I was seeing this thing yesterday on 60 Minutes. It came on after the football game last night. That they've got this thing, this guy at this, it's called the something of the future, how they develop stuff. They 20 years ago predicted HD TV. 20 years ago, they predicted a lot of these things we had before it was ever.
Mm.
And so they were sharing. So now one of the things they're sharing is this device you can put around your ear that's connected to a computer that can, it's based on your thoughts. Somehow it's wired into your brain, and it can actually, you can think of a question and that computer gives you the answer. Nothing audible passes. It's passed through some electronic thing, and you can spit it out. And they actually demonstrated it on the TV where he asked him this bizarre question, like 485,696 divided by 12. And the guy gave him the answer because the computer figured it out and transmitted it to him. without no words being spoken, just through thought.
So he was just thinking it.
He thought it. How that's like something out of the
future.
That's
a little spooky, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, robotic exoskeletons like you've seen in movies, you know, like, you know, some of these futuristic movies, you see this stuff that was being developed, and now it's actually being developed for our soldiers to use in combat. So all these things that are going on technologically give us this facade of feeling like, or this false sense of feeling like we're in control now that we can do all these. And yet the common cold will still wreak havoc in our life in the middle of a week. If your kids get a cold, you're like, you feel like you're just wiped out for the week, right?
Yeah. I saw, I think flu shots are out now. You can go get one. I was thinking about getting one as if to have some kind of control over that.
Well, and so we go back to what happened in the garden, and what was Satan's lie? If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. Hmm. And isn't it interesting? You know, I've talked about this before, that the symbol on the Apple iPhone, the technology that most of us identify with, whether it's a MacBook, an iPhone, an iPad, is the symbol of an apple with a bite out of it. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, we don't know what fruit was eaten in the garden, but most people just say an apple, the bite of the apple. That's what's always symbolized it. And yet this technology gives us this false sense, and it's given our young people, anybody that's grown up, I say in the iPhone generation, feel like they know more than you or I based upon their ability to access information that they really don't know anything about, how they got it.
Well, like what you were just saying a minute ago, this device around your head or neck can translate or interpret what you're thinking. Well, I mean, that's just another step of today. If I have a question, I can just ask Google and it gets me the answer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It gives you what you think you need. Mm-hmm. But again, nobody knows where it comes from. But there's this false sense of being in control. And so whether it's a hurricane, whether it's, you know, germs that are on a micro level that we can't see. And even, you know, the car that might swerve over because somebody's texting or some distracted driver at the last minute. None of us have any control over those things. And we have to come back to the place of saying, you know, we are under God's care. We don't live an anxious life. We don't live with anxiety. But we're mindful that this world is not our home. This is not our end. This is not what it's all about. I was listening to Dr. Moeller share this morning about Ronald Reagan, whose father-in-law was a neurologist. Mr. Davis was a neurologist, and he was at the end of his life, and Ronald Reagan was burdened. President Reagan was burdened for his father-in-law to know Jesus, and he wrote him this letter, and it was just a beautiful letter of pleading with him, saying, hey, you know, I know you don't believe this stuff, but over this many number of prophecies were fulfilled, and this, there was this urgent plea. And I'm sure that if you're listening to this broadcast today, you know people. You may be one of these people that you've gone to church, or you know, you've known the truth, but it's never really affected your heart. You've never really had that heart comfort or that heart desire to really be in relationship with God. Well, this week and next week, we're going to be talking about what God really desires. And it's based on Matthew 15, 1 through 20, but specifically 8 and 9, when Jesus rebukes the religious leaders of that day, which I'm sure he would do a lot in our culture as well today, of saying, you worship me with this meaningless outward worship that is nothing, because what I really desire is on the inside. Now, that's my paraphrase of 8 and 9, but it's really about what's the heart change in a person. And that heart change only comes from knowing who you are, that you're not in control, and knowing who God is and that he is in control. And so,
well, I think there's maybe that's the overarching question even today, in light of looking back over a hurricane that hit our coastline not too far from here. Knowing God is in control, does that give you comfort, or does it give you anxiety?
Well, and as believers, we get so distracted with other things, and we can't forget the eternal significance of what God's done in our life and what he offers to others. So,
well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio. If you have any questions, send those to ask@swatradio.com and we'll answer them on air.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Monday afternoon. What is it? 9/17?
September 17th.
Yeah, already. Good night already. Well, listen, by the way, I did want to just mention, really enjoyed listening to you and Tim Lusk on Friday. Great, good closure to the week last week as we were talking about just the emotional health of, you know, people that are out there today. I mean,
that are struggling with depression, despondency. And by the way, he's coming back this Friday because one of the areas that we wanted to get into that we weren't able to because of time is, as believers, a lot of times we have been told or somehow it's been communicated to us that we shouldn't use drugs to fight that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim's going to speak to that. And I'm not sure where he's coming from yet. I don't know. But I asked him if he would address that issue because people say, well, it's sin to use the drugs to deal with depression or the, you know, clinical depression and those kind of things. And so we wanted Tim to speak to that because I know Tim has both gone through things himself and counsel many, many people dealing with that. So we're going to be talking about that on Friday. So if you are struggling with despondency, depression, or know somebody is, that would be a good day to tune in to get them to tune in to listen, because I'm sure Tim, as always, will give us some valuable words of wisdom.
Well, Tim's got a lot of experience in that area.
He does. He does. And it was great just to go back and forth with him. And one of the things he talked about this past Sunday, because we had a dear brother pass away in our church from this life to the next, and he just talked about this Friday, and I don't know if you remember, about just it's okay to grieve.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're taught not to. We're taught to stuff it. We're taught to put it down.
Get over it.
And it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel emotion for the physical loss of a friend, family member who's gone, and not feel like you've got to just get over it.
Well, I appreciate it. In fact, he mentioned about a church member long time ago who lost a son, and I don't know, a year later, whatever, the dad.
It was, yeah, four
and
months.
I know who it was.
It wasn't even a year. It's four months, and he's pushing himself to get over
it. To get over it. And almost that became the source of concern for him, that he wasn't over it yet. And Tim's counsel was, you're never going to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you lose a loved one, that impacts you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've lost my mother. It still to this day, I miss her, you know?
Well, and many people would ask, why would God allow your mother to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
Why would God allow this young 21-year-old guy who was going to seminary to suffer and go through the things he did, the family to suffer like that? But this young lady who lost her daughter, I'm sorry, this young lady died. She wasn't young. She was an older lady who died, but her daughter made a statement at the funeral that says God never leaves anything incomplete. In other words, he's not bringing someone home if they've not completed what he wants them to do, if they're his children. He's letting them be used for as long as he wants, and then he brings them home. That's the hope we have. And we remember that our bodies are just tents. They're temporary. And so often we forget that. We forget this world is temporary. This planet's going away. Go to Revelation 21 and read it. It's going to be taken away. It's going to be burned up, Peter says. You know, and so the good news is that we can't even begin to think about how this is what Tim said on Sunday. He was preaching about this guy who passed away, and he says, we can't even begin to fathom what's on the other side. It's so beyond us. And the cool thing is 10,000 years after this world has passed away, eternity's just beginning. We're still there. We're still living. We're still enjoying the presence of God, the presence of Christ, the presence of each other. And I think that's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 4:16, where he says these are light and momentary afflictions.
And so, in other words, they're going to be over.
These things are light. And Paul was a guy who was beaten. He was, stoned. Yeah, he went through all this stuff. And so this week, as we look at this passage in Matthew 15, we're really, I thought it'd be great for us, Brad, to go through like I did in the SWAT meetings. So let's review Matthew for a second. If you're listening and just tuning in, you know, we do these SWAT meetings every week in 5 different locations. And if you're a lady listening, might be something your husband would like to be a part of. If you're a guy listening, we'd love to have you be a part of it. It's Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And we would love for you to join it. And by the way, somebody asked, well, you should do one for women. My wife does something similar, Spiritual Women Warriors Advancing Truth. No, it's but they meet at the YMCA out at Ponte Vedra off of Landrum. I think it's called Landrum. It's right by Landrum Middle School at that YMCA out there every Thursday at 9:30. And so it's 9:30 on Thursdays, but for the men, every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have 5 different opportunities for you to be a part of. Wednesday morning at Woody's Barbecue off Solano Road in the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center at 6:30 a.m. Wednesday lunch here at the Salem Center, 7235 Bonneville Road between I-95 and Phillips Highway off of Bonneville. Every Wednesday night at Eastside Community Church, 13301 Beach Boulevard. Every Thursday morning, Jumpin' Jack's House of Food, ate there yesterday. Oh, burgers are so good. and then every Friday morning down at the Village Inn, 900 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in St. Augustine. So those are 5 opportunities for the men, 1 for the women, every week that you can go be part of a group. And the driving force for our groups is a community of men around the Word of God with a passion to be like Jesus. And we had good groups this past week, Brad. We had we were busting out at Woody's. We were busting out here at the Salem Center, and busting out at Jumpin' Jack's. And I mean, we have this community of guys. And the more mission trips we do together, the more retreats we do together, the more we grow as a community. And so, if you're listening and you're not part of something, you weren't built to be in isolation. God did not design you to be in isolation. And just going to church on Sunday, sitting in the back, it ain't going to cut it in the spiritual life. You were designed to know God and to know others and to be in relationship, and that's what we're about. And so Matthew, who was known as Levi, was a guy who was very isolated. He had the name that was connected with the tribe that was supposed to minister to the people of God. And yet he betrayed his own people, colluded with the Romans for the sake of money, and was very greedy. He was a tax collector. And Jesus came into his life and said, follow me, And he did. He followed him, and his whole life changed. His heart changed. His life changed. He became a humble man. You know, he wasn't humble as a tax collector. Mm-hmm. He was greedy mm-hmm. and out there prideful, right. trying to get the money for himself. But yet, relaying his testimony over in Matthew 9, he gave one sentence. And he didn't use the name Levi, because that was his old name. He used the name Matthew, which means gift of God. And he wrote this beautiful gospel account of Jesus' life. And I thought it'd be helpful today for us to start today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, to kind of take people through a journey of Matthew as we go into Matthew 15, because we've kind of been working through Matthew, but we haven't really talked about it much over the summer. We've looked at other things. And I think even at the very beginning, Matthew's goal as a Jew writing to Jews was to present Jesus as the Messiah king that had been promised. And to start off with, if you're going to be a king in Israel, the lineage had to go through the line, the royal line had to go from male to male. You know, from the kingly line of David, it was in the prophecy that this guy is going to be the eternal king. He's going to be the Messiah king. And so that lineage had to flow through some pretty evil kings, mm-hmm. kings that did not follow God, which shows God's grace in Matthew 1. But even more so, there were five women listed in that genealogy, and you did not list women in that culture in the genealogies. But these five women, even if you did list women, you wouldn't have listed these.
Exactly.
I mean, you had Tamar, mm-hmm. who slept with her father-in-law pretending to be a prostitute. That's the first woman mentioned. Mm-hmm. The second woman mentioned was Rahab, who was a prostitute. And then the third woman mentioned was Ruth, who was a Moabite, the Moabites were products of incest and cursed by God. They couldn't even go into the temple. And then you had Bathsheba, the woman whose name was associated with the worst scandal in the history of Israel, as far as the kings, with King David. And then the fifth woman was Mary, the Virgin Mary, a woman who was pregnant before she was married, which was scandalous. So you had these five women listed singing Amazing Grace, because they show the thread of God's grace. And Matthew, who was a benefactor of God's grace, wanted to show that at the very beginning of his book. It's the first chapter, the first writing of Matthew takes us through that, to the point at the end of Matthew 1 that the angel tells Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Sins is plural, and his is significant because he saves his people. He doesn't save the whole world. He did not come as a universal king that everybody would be saved. He came, though, as a universal king that would be open for anybody to be saved, but only his people would be the ones who would respond. And that's hard for us to get our heads around.
Yeah, it is.
But that's what Scripture says.
Right.
He will save his people from their sins. And again, sins plural, not just sin nature, but from the sins that they would continue to commit. Because every time you sin, don't you get that kind of bad feeling inside? You know when you do something mm-hmm. that goes mm-hmm. against God's will. And he wants us to change, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. So that's chapter one, really, that Matthew starts off teaching us about grace and mercy.
I think it's encouraging, and we're going to take another break here in a minute, Doug, and I appreciated the fact that you went through this genealogy last week during the SWAT Bible study. Just as a reminder, I mean, we did cover this, what, about a year ago, maybe?
Yeah.
But just to see how this thread of redemption goes through sinful people, you know, and that's everybody outside of Christ, and how he's going to use even sinful people. And it's like you talked about last week. Don't you wish you could talk to people who have fallen?
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to say, hey, get up. Get up. God can still use you.
Yeah, your life's not over for you when you blow it, because, hey, welcome to the blown it club.
Exactly.
We've all blown it.
Well, it's like you said, we're all in spiritual rehab.
Yep.
Even Rahab, I was thinking.
Rehab for Rahab.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. Well, anyway, we'll come back and we'll kind of jump into Matthew 2, 3, four. I don't know how far we'll get today, but we'll try and move right through this week. So, hey, glad you've joined us today here at SWAT Radio. If you have any questions for Doug or myself, send those to ask at SWATradio.com. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee now says a woman who has accused Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct deserves to be heard.
Senator Charles Grassley says that Christine Blasey Ford deserves to be heard, and he's working to do that in what he calls an appropriate, precedented, and respectful manner. Initial reports say that Grassley is trying to schedule separate phone calls with Ford and Kavanaugh, but that Democrats have so far refused to participate. He has not yet committed to holding another round of public hearings, although there is precedent for that. Back in 1991, the committee scheduled additional hearings for Clarence Thomas to review claims of sexual harassment by Anita Hill.
Desk correspondent Wally Hines. Rescuers have been plucking residents from their flooded homes, even as North Carolina's swollen rivers are expected to reach record or near-record crests later today. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
As of this morning, North Carolina has 17 confirmed deaths due to this storm. We mourn the loss of each and every life.
Though downgraded to a tropical depression now, Florence is still massive and dangerous as it covers parts of six states. The U.S. accusing Russia of cheating and undermining U.N. sanctions against North Korea.
Russian corruption is like a virus,
says U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, who told today's urgent meeting of the Security Council the violations are systematic. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis speaking today in Macedonia says NATO is ready to welcome that country as its 30th member.
You would join an alliance in which countries large and small work together to uphold shared principles of national sovereignty, territorial integrity, and freedom from coercion.
Mattis today condemning Russia's efforts to use its money and influence to build opposition to an upcoming vote that could pave the way for Macedonia to join NATO, partly by changing its name to North Macedonia. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Look out for a disabled vehicle on the West Beltway 295 northbound before U.S. 17 Roosevelt Boulevard. Also in the opposite direction, another one 295 southbound at the Buckman Bridge. And another disabled vehicle on I-10 eastbound just before you get to the Cecil Commerce Center with some emergency vehicles in the opposite direction blocking the left lane. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 75. Tuesday, partly sunny, high 92.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes and Doug McCary. Here it is, Monday, September 17th. We're going to be at Christmas here for too long, Doug. I was going through some store the other day, and they had Christmas stuff out.
It's coming. It's going to come out like by October 1st is when it starts coming out, for sure. I may come out late September, which is where we are almost.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Well, you know, Brad, we even though we're in Matthew 15, I don't know if you can you read Matthew 15 verses 8 and 9, because this really is the essence of Matthew 15 1 through 20. And 15, 8 and 9 talk about it's a quote back from Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
that is a pronouncement against the hypocrisy of religious leaders, but it applies to everyone. And we live in a culture that accentuates the appearance over substance.
Yeah, lip service.
And so read this. This is God's word to us. This is the essence of 15, 1 through 20. And we're looking at Matthew, who penned this, whose life was changed. And so go ahead and read that.
Yeah, verse 8, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men."
This is an elevation of tradition, ceremony, and external over what's really happening in your heart. And we see it every week when we go to church. We see people that sit in pews, who stand up, who sing with no joy. They sing with no, and again, Tim Lush said that joy and sorrow are not incompatible. We're not talking about not singing with weight. I mean, we know we live in a weighty world. The bad things happen. You have hurricanes, you have the stuff we talked about earlier, but people sing praises to God with no rejoicing of what he's done, because they haven't really appropriated, like you said last week, what he's done in their life. Matthew brings out in Matthew 1 that our God is not a God of condemnation. He's a God of grace. He offers grace to us. Not everybody receives that grace. In fact, in Matthew 2, Matthew introduces us to different responses to the gospel and prophecies. Over in Matthew 2, we first meet the Magi, the wise men who come from the east. And Brad, they were men who were kingmakers. You could not be a king in the east without having the wise men anoint you. Mm-hmm. And they were currently at this time, many believe, without a king. They wanted the Romans to be out of there as much as the Israelites wanted them to be out. But these men had heard stories of a Messiah king, and so they came searching. And it says they came in and they asked, who, you know, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? Herod heard about this. He got really upset. But the first response we see is from the wise man. It says, when they found Jesus, they bowed down and they worshiped him. That word worship is proskuneo. It means to bow down, kiss the feet of, to pay homage to. And these were very wealthy, powerful men who said, we are worshiping, we are adoring him. We found the one we're looking for. Now, Herod had a different response. He was afraid. He was so afraid that he wanted to kill. In fact, he killed all these kids under two because he was afraid of losing power. And I think in today's culture also, those are two responses you see. You see people that respond to Jesus with adoration and worship because they found the one they were looking for. And then you see people who are afraid of losing power in their own life. They don't want to yield up control of their hearts. They don't want to yield control of their life. They're afraid they might have to go be a missionary somewhere. They're afraid they might have to give up something they don't want to stop doing.
A Bible study once a week.
Whatever. And so the thing is that those are two responses we see today, but there's a third response in the Pharisees and the religious leaders. When Herod's asked, he got the chief priest and the scribes and ask, hey, where is the Christ to be born? And they told him Bethlehem, but they didn't even go investigate. So they're 5-6 miles away from Bethlehem. They don't go over, even though they know the prophecies. And later in John, in the Gospel of John, when they are talking about Jesus, they said, can anything good come from Nazareth? Because people were saying Jesus was Messiah. They didn't know he was born in Bethlehem, because they didn't investigate. They were apathetic. And that's another response. We see so many people today who are apathetic. They just don't care. They just don't care. They're just going to live their life now, and they don't care. So you have people that were adoring. You had people that were afraid. You had people that were apathetic. And then there was a fourth group we see over in Luke when they were the shepherds, that when the angels came and proclaimed, hey, give glory to God because the Messiah's come. And this is, you know, where he was born. He was born here. They went right away. They were anticipating. Mm-hmm. And there's people out there who are anticipating. They're looking. They're seeking. And they haven't found yet. And there's believers that need to be those instruments of God to go to them and share that good news. And that's why, you know, if you have found Christ, if you are walking with Christ, if you know Christ, you always need to be alert to the opportunities to share the gospel, because God's people, his people, are everywhere. And when you have heart change in your life and you show heart change, they see a difference in your life. It adds credibility to your message. I mean, and that's why we live a holy life. It's not so that God will accept you, but it's so that your message has credibility what's the word I'm looking for, Brad? It's your message has credibility, but it's also you demonstrate that you believe it yourself. Because if you tell people about something and you're not even bought into it yourself, why should they believe you?
Well, just the fact that God desires to use us. sinful people. I mean, just like we looked in Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of how the Messiah came through a line of sinners. And I think about this thing that he will save his people from their sins. We don't know who his people are.
No.
He does. We have the opportunity to be the instrument God uses to share Jesus with.
And after he shows these responses, the very next chapter, Matthew lays out a model for us in how we minister, and that's John the Baptist. He was an incredibly humble man who trusted God and pointed to Jesus. His mission in life was to point people to Jesus. His message was follow him.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't ask Jesus into your heart. It wasn't go to this church. It was follow Jesus. Go follow him. He is the Lamb of God. He's the sacrifice. He is the one that we've been waiting for. And he was such a model for ministry. He prepared the way. And I think, Brad, for us, a lot of times we forget that sometimes, I mean, God's going to use us to do that. And he wants to use us to prepare that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we may be the one that puts a seed in the ground, shares the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We may be the one that comes along and waters that seed. But we really need to let John's words echo in our brain and in our minds and in our hearts. And his words are, he must increase, I must decrease. And what does that say? That's humility.
Mm-hmm.
That is the trademark of a Christian follower of Jesus Christ, that this trademark humility of being poor in spirit because we know we have nothing to bring. And when we see other people who have struggles in life, we have compassion on them.
If you want to be something in the kingdom of God, you got to be nothing.
Yeah, if you want to get rich, you got to be poor. If you want to live, you got to die. It's this upside down mentality. Mm. And John the Baptist embraced that, and he went out and said, go to him. In fact, some of his followers at one time were like, hey, we're losing people. People are going away from our group, and they're going over there. Have you ever thought that? If you're listening, have you ever thought that? If you're in part of a group or part of a church, and you know they start going somewhere else, and you're like, well, what's going on? Why are they leaving? Maybe God moved them over there for some reason. But John the Baptist was so secure and what God was doing and what his calling was, he said, you know what? Go follow him. He was sending people over. He said, that's the way it's supposed to be.
In other words, we're not created to make a following of our own.
No.
You know, whether it's it was nice to hear some of those men at the Bible study last week talk about how this Bible study, SWAT, has been such a huge impact. And it's not about Doug.
No.
It's not about SWAT Radio. It's not about SWAT Bible Study. It's about Jesus.
It is.
It's pointing to Jesus.
It's about Jesus Christ. And listen, be very careful about when people talk to you about your church or your Bible study group, whichever one it is, whatever it is, don't lift up the pastor or don't lift up the leader. Lift up Jesus. You know what? If you've got a great Bible teacher that's leading you wherever you are, talk about how Jesus speaks through that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to say, hey, man, you know, we go there and we get fed. We get fed because the word of God is preached and we see Jesus. We see Jesus in our leader and we see Jesus coming through what he says.
And his spirit.
Yeah.
And his word is doing something in
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Talk about Jesus. Let it point to Jesus, not to the person. So too often here in America, we fall victim to this. And I know people are well-meaning, but listen, your pastor, your leader, they can be the worst communicator in the world, and the Spirit will take that word and sow seed in your heart. And he can be the best communicator in the world. And you know what? It can fall flat because unless the Holy Spirit reveals that truth to you, it ain't getting through. Unless the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see and your heart to receive, it ain't going to happen. So stop talking about how funny your pastor is or how good a communicator is and talk about how much he loves Jesus and how much the word of God flows through him. That's what we need to be accentuating. I'm sorry, went off on
that. No, that's what I kind of wanted to to bring up. I think we live in a time where we're elevating man more than we're elevating Christ.
Yeah.
It's Christ. It's all about Christ.
It's all about Jesus.
You know, that's we're here to worship him, not man.
Yeah.
And there is a tendency. We see gifted, talented communicators, speakers, preachers. There's a tendency to lift them up. Let's lift Christ up. Hey, yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Join us, SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here in the studio today. We're doing a recap, basically, of the first 14 chapters of Matthew, because we're going to, is it later in the week or are we going to do this next week, Matthew 15?
Well, we'll get into maybe a little bit on Thursday, but probably more than likely next week we'll be looking at 15, 1 through 20, about the heart change God wants in us as believers and what he really desires. But I think before we get there, we got to go back and set the context of what's going on. Jesus has been, Matthew has been laying out in written form this gospel account. You know, Brad, the Bible is not just a book of rules like so many people think it is. It is an unfolding story. And we're reading through Matthew's account, and what he's doing is he's presenting a picture of Jesus as the Messiah King, and he's the one who fulfills all the prophecies. And in one, we talked about the genealogy, and two, we talked about how people respond to the birth of this Messiah King and how those prophecies. In chapter two, there were three or four specific prophecies he laid out that were fulfilled that couldn't have been fulfilled by Jesus knowing him because he was a baby. He wasn't even born yet, and these things were taking place to fulfill those specific prophecies. In fact, I think there's 120 specific, I mean, very specific prophecies, over 300 prophecies, but 120 specific prophecies about his life and death that were fulfilled, that there's no mistake that it was God supernaturally showing 700 years beforehand some of these prophecies, what was taking place.
Well,
now,
I think it's great. I think we were discussing this a couple of weeks ago, was being prepared to share Christ. And basically, that's what Matthew is doing here. He's proving that Jesus is Messiah, King.
Yeah, he was.
How are you going to prove something? You know, if you were to prove something, you're going to lay out the evidence.
Well, and that's what he did. He went to lay out the evidence. And, you know, I referenced this letter from Ronald Reagan. And I thought the thing that is interesting about this is this was a private letter. This was not a public letter from Ronald Reagan. It was something he wrote privately to his father-in-law. And, you know, my father-in-law lived with us for a while, and I remember there was a time right after he had his stroke that I felt led to write him a letter. So when you write your father-in-law a letter, or anybody you communicate with who's could be their passing could be imminent, there's an urgency there for you to communicate with them because you love them and you want them to know the truth, right?
Sure.
And so this was a very personal letter to Ronald Reagan's dying father-in-law. And his name was Loyal Davis. And the thing that was so interesting is he said in this, he said, Loyal, I know of your feeling and your doubt, but could I impose on you a little longer? Some 700, this is 700 years before the birth of Christ, the ancient Jewish prophets predicted the coming of Messiah. They said he would be born in a lowly place. He would proclaim himself the Son of God. He would be put to death for saying that. All in all, President Reagan wrote, there were 123 specific prophecies about his life, all of which came true. He went on to affirm the fact that it was prophesied and realized that Christ would be born of a virgin. That he then writes, now I know this is probably the hardest for you as a doctor to accept. The only answer that can be given is a miracle. He says, but Loyal, I don't find that as great a miracle as the actual history of his life that took place. Talking about the life of Christ. He said, either he was who he said he was, or he was the greatest fake and charlatan who ever lived. But then, said President Reagan, would a liar and faker suffer the death he did when all he had to do to save himself was admit he had been lying? And then he pressed his father-in-law and he said, the Apostle John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So President Reagan pleading, this letter was just uncovered. This lady was writing an article, a book on the life of Nancy Reagan and doing a lot of this research. And so the thing is, people got really upset about this letter because it was published, I think, in the Washington Post, and people got upset and they said it's wrong for someone to write to an atheist trying to convince him of the claims of Christ. That's abusive.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. This is what they said. And so I just want our listeners to hear this. I mean, this is not something you would have ever heard about Ronald Reagan. People talked about him being a Christian, but here he is writing his father-in-law about this and covering a lot of the stuff. It's like Matthew's wanting to write to the Jewish people. This is about 30 years after the life of Christ, to convince them this is the one who fulfilled all the prophecies. And then to show that he's worthy in Matthew 4, he talks about a one-on-one Satan and Jesus Christ. Jesus goes out into the desert for 40 days, and there's this revelation to Matthew, because you remember, this happened way before Matthew met Jesus. So only Jesus relaying this to his disciples is how Matthew would have known. I mean, this Jesus had to relay this so it could be told like this, because this was before Matthew was Matthew. He was still Levi at this time. And so there's this account of Jesus going like two heavyweight boxers boxing. It's Jesus and Satan, and they're battling with the word of God. First, he makes an appeal to the flesh because Jesus had been fasting, and he tries to get him to turn rocks into stone. He says, no, man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by the word of God. And then he goes on, Satan throws scripture at him, and he comes back with scripture. But the third thing he says, listen, if you just bow down and worship me, that word proskuneo there is again what the Magi did, then I'll give you all these kingdoms you see. And Jesus said to him, be gone. Read it in verse 10, what he says exactly.
Yeah. So verse 10, Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Worship the Lord your God. If you're listening today, what do you worship? Who do you worship? Do you worship your wife? Do you worship your children? Do you worship your job? Do you worship your money? Do you worship anything other than God?
Where do you spend your time?
Yeah.
Where do you spend your money? What do you think about?
You look at your checkbook and look at your calendar, and it'll reveal what's really important to you. And you go, well, I don't worship that. Well, do you? Do we? Because it's pretty clear there, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I mean, that's pretty clear. And Matthew lays out that Jesus was worthy to be the Messiah King. He went against Satan's attempts to, and you know, three times he quotes scripture back, and all three times, all three scriptures come from the book of Deuteronomy, which in the book of Deuteronomy is also the Shema, which we say every SWAT meeting, and that's Hear, O Israel. I say it every day with my girls. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And the word there for with all your heart is the core of who you are. And with all your soul is all, it's really all your body. And then with all your might, it's with everything you have. And it's just this growing crescendo of your worship of God. And it flows and emanates from the heart. It flows and emanates from the core of who you are. That's why it's so important what Jesus says and what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, when it says, in vain do you worship me because you only are focused on the outside. And so as we go through this, we need to remember that Jesus doesn't care about your qualifications. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter how bad you've been, no matter what kind of terrible choices you've made, nothing can disqualify you from following him if you're repentant and your eyes have been opened to who Jesus is and you respond to his message of grace and say, yes, I want to repent, I want to turn, and I want to follow you. And so often, Brad, we think we have to, I have to know all the Bible, or I have to understand it all. The disciples didn't understand it after following him for 3.5 years.
Well,
two and a half years anyway.
I like in chapter 3 how John really addresses kind of the traditional people. You know, he said, and do not presume to say yourself, we have Abraham as our father. In other words, look, we have all this tradition, all this history. He's saying that's not going to do you any good. Church membership, church attendance, singing in the choir, all that stuff. That's not what he's talking about. That is kind of what you're saying is you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me.
I remember talking to people and asking them, do you love Jesus? Yeah, I belong to First Baptist Church, Wachita, Kansas. Well, belonging to the church, you know, I mean, people think sometimes because they belong to a particular denomination, because they belong to a particular church, that makes them a Christian. That does not make you a Christian. It does not make you a Christ follower. It does not make you a little Christ. That's what the word Christian means. The only thing that makes you a true follower of Jesus and a Christian is a heart change that is produced by the Holy Spirit in response to God's grace and mercy in your life. I mean, he starts with his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. I mean, that's the whole thing. It starts on the inside. And so, Brad, as we go into this week, I think we need to just keep coming back to this heart change, heart change, heart change. That's what Matthew's trying to get across. And he was a guy who lived it in his life, and we see it evident in his life.
Well, I'm excited to be going through this week. Hopefully, if you're listening to us today, you'll stick with us throughout the week as we make our way through the first 14 chapters of Matthew. Very quickly,
yeah.
By the way.
Quickly, but it's a good overview.
No, it's a great overview. I think we need this. We need to be familiar with this material.
Yeah.
It doesn't save us.
No.
But it shows us who Christ is.
Well, it points to him.
Right.
And as it unfolds, it doesn't it just give you this grand picture of grace. I mean, you see it in every chapter. Every chapter. It's just awesome. So we love you, God, and thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you want to join us this week, we'd love to hear from you. Go to our website, swatradio.com. If you're not plugged into a men's Bible study, you can go there, see where they're being held, 5 different studies throughout the week, beginning Wednesday morning, ending Friday after.
Yeah, yeah, and
Friday
if you morning. Want to give to Florence victims, you can go to SWATradio.com and do that as well.
Yeah. So. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing.
Yeah.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville.